Here we are in April, spring season for Indiana men's soccer, and we get caught up for the first time in a few weeks with the head coach. My great friend is Todd Yeagley from Indiana men's soccer. Well, spring break is in the rear view mirror. We know by design you guys had a quiet March, but here in the last few days, some new transfers heading to the roster. A game with Kentucky from last weekend that we'll have to bother you about, and another one coming up tonight. Well, the rain has stopped. That's the good news. How are you, my man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Glass.
What are you guys doing? It rains for 18,000 hours in a row. Is that indoor and indoor only?
We're pretty fortunate. One, we've actually been able to escape it a bit. We train in the morning, and it seems like the weather's been a little better during our training block. A little bit fortunate. So we haven't missed anything this week. Monday, obviously, with the eclipse, we were shut down for training, and the guys really enjoyed that whole experience. But our last 4 days have been good, and we're excited to play tonight. And the weather is breaking just at the right time to have clear skies tonight. So yeah, we've kind of dodged it.
How's your field doing? I think we've had 6 inches of rain. Well, we've had more than that, actually. I'm going to look that up just for – well, because curiosity killed the cat earlier. But it's just when it's rained this much, let's see what the number is today. We've had 6.5 inches of rain in the month of April. How is the Bill Armstrong, Jerry Yeagley field pitch doing?
It's doing well. It has been pretty saturated, like in the afternoons and evenings when I'm looking down from the office, you can see a little bit of standing water, but it quickly goes away. Our field crew, Jeremy and his team, and some of the changes we've done to Armstrong, as you've known, Glass, the last couple of years, we're starting to feel and see the effects of the drainage, and it's draining much quicker. Our practice field actually drains the quickest, which is great. So yeah, it's gonna be quick, but there won't be any standing water. We wouldn't play if that was the case anyhow. But no, it should be good for tonight. But yeah, we have gotten we've gotten tons of rain, which for all those that have been not mowing the yard for the month of March, probably have
getting a little thick.
Susie did our lawn, which she typically does, and she tells me often I don't do our we don't have a lot of grass. We have a lot of mulch. And she told me the other day how high it was, kind of an indirect kind of shot. You got to mow the yard at some point.
Right. That's why you get more mulch, because you don't have to cut the mulch.
That's right, the mulch. Mulch you don't have to cut,
Todd Yeagley is our guest. He is the head coach of Indiana men's soccer, and I can always gauge interest, especially at the springtime, when I will get text messages, hey, did I miss coach? Did you forget to put his interview at the website? Have you not talked to him? Didn't they have a game last week? Okay, I heard you. We got him. He's here now. What did you guys do down in Kentucky last week, or is that secret information you cannot tell the rest of us?
No, that was a good trip. That was a really nice trip. We were pretty beat up, right around. We've been pretty beat up all spring, honestly. Luckily, everything looks really good for the fall, Glass, with injuries, but a lot of little muscle things, a couple tweaks here and there. So our numbers for the SLU game in particular, we were low, and we got some guys back just in time for this Kentucky game, which was great. We're not fully healthy at all, but we did have more bodies available, and we got some really good some good performance. I mean, it was a 2-0 win. We probably played, I think, 16, 17 field players, which obviously is higher than our normal rotation of, 13 or 14 potentially. So, yeah, it was good to get a good eval on the 16 or 17 that we had this past weekend with Kentucky. And Kentucky, they're talented as always. They have some really good athletes. Certainly a different tactical approach. We train against each other. We haven't been able to go 11s very often, but, we don't see their system, in our training. So it was good to have a competition against kind of a different formation, which was great to kind of work on that, because we'll see it in the fall with some of our opponents. But as I was mentioning, Lucas Wolders, had a lot of minutes. Our fans haven't seen him. He redshirted. Luke Riedel, another redshirt with some minutes. Clay Mirador, you know, was able to, again, get some more minutes, keeping him healthy. Joel Damian, an important evaluation for him. He's been injured quite a bit with us, and it feels like the first time he's been healthy. I thought he had a really, really nice game. Brecken Menzie, a player that maybe had one or two appearances last year, Glass. As a right back, he played a lion's share of the minutes at center back this spring, and really this, I thought, was really his first game that showed, okay, there's some really good qualities that we think can translate. So those are just to name a few that I thought, so some faces that our fans have not seen, and quite honestly, we haven't seen in a match outside of our own scrimmages. And Kentucky's a good side, and so for us to win 2-0, I thought it could have been 4. They had a really good chance off a goal kick, ironically, that we should not have given them. And then one other kind of good half chance, but outside of that, it was a pretty controlled match. And Johan, their coach, he's a good coach and a good man. He even referenced after the game that was, I think he used the word, that was humbling, was his word. So you know it's a good day when the other coach who you respect gives you that information.
Absolutely. Todd Yeagley, head coach, Indiana men's soccer. You talk about Kentucky playing a style that perhaps you don't see or deal with very often. How much, if any, do you change your formations in the spring just to tinker around or toy around, or are you looking just to refine the new faces into the old system?
No, we adapted a bit, similar to what we did in the fall. It looked more like a 4-3-3 for us. We just kind of – our midfield shape was a bit different. Our wingers were a little bit more pinched in and higher the way we pressed out. And so it was a bit different than we normally would do. We were playing against a 3/5 back, which, I'd say we probably have 25% of our opponents are playing out of that shape with different – roles within the midfield. Because, again, a formation is there's you can say you play a certain thing. It's really kind of where you move the pieces on.
Right.
We do play out of a back four, but when you watch our team, rarely do you see four players, in the back line. I mean, we at least have one of our wing backs up the field. One might be inside. Both might be high. So formations are tricky. But, yes, it was a good test to see how we could defend in our different blocks. And I thought our repress, our defensive pressure, which we've been working on with some of these young guys in particular, from habit forming, was good. And there was a good spirit. And I told them after our second game against St. Louis, rarely do I say I thought you were outfought. I mean, you didn't bring a spirit to the game. And that's inexcusable. They knew that. And so, we talked that before the Kentucky game. I said, yeah, there's a lot of things we want to work on that do with tactics and how you guys are playing. But there's one marker that must be there. And that we lead the field is the team that put it out the most. And we checked that box for sure after this match.
Yeah, you don't want to spend the limited time you have with them worrying about effort and hustle and heart and things like that. No. Let's worry about other things, more important things. Yep. 7:30 tonight, yep. IUPUI comes to town. We'll get to the Jaguars and what they're going to bring and what you guys are going to look to do, because you guys also play next week in Indianapolis. That would be the final game of the spring season. We'll get to schedule here in a minute, but big news this week in the transfer portal. Well, everybody's transfer portal is spinning round and round and round, and you have added a couple players, one a little bit more familiar than the other after last year's NCAA tournament run, a goalkeeper from the University of Virginia and a midfielder from Tulsa. What drew the attention of these players to you or your staff, and what holes do you see them filling as we get, well, they'll be here in August. We'll have to wait a little bit for that.
No, I mean, we're, as you saw, Glass, we have four transfers, one of which is here, Quentin Elliott, who did a really nice job. He's going to be fantastic for us. We knew that.
And he's from Louisville,
he's
right?
That. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, via West Virginia hometown. He's been great. So he's the only one that's with us now, and he is playing. He played last game. He'll play tonight. But, yes, the other three, we talked about Justin Weiss a bit earlier on the show. He's going to be a fantastic attacker for us. But in particular, our last two, we felt we needed another central midfielder, a box-to-box, someone who could complement Patrick, Jack Wagner and the rest of our group before we're ready to say, okay, is a freshman ready to jump in and play in there? And I do feel we have one or two that are going to make it really fun as a freshman that might be hard to keep off the field. But taking them aside, and if they're ready, we'll play them, maybe in a different role. Sometimes we move them kind of up the field. Jeffis was the player we were looking for. The versatility, his IQ, the way he fit in with our team. And after the first phone call, and we started digging, he fit the soccer profile really quick. I mean, we can see stuff on video, glass immediately. We got tipped off on him. We had immediate conversation the first day at the portal. He's a grad transfer, so he was a little, kind of came in midstream on the portal because our portal window's May 1, except if you're a grad student. So we've been looking, and we actually had a couple that we were going to make a move on, and we just said, no, it's not right. Like, you know, they had three of the four things we wanted, and we saw Jeffis. We looked at it. We then dug in, and it was like, this is the guy. And it was fast and furious. First phone call Friday. He's here on Wednesday, Thursday, and he commits. Wake Forest got him there before us. I mean, literally within 2 days of the portal. And he didn't even agree to go on any other visits. And he clearly felt IU was the best place for him. And the thing about Luke is he's the culture guy at Tulsa. He's the local kid that has done really well. And that story resonates with us. He's a little under the radar with accolades because he's kind of the glue guy that everyone appreciates. You could say like what Brett Beebe brought to our team. He didn't get all Big Ten, but man, you know how valuable he was. He's like a cross between Beebe and like a Patrick McDonald. You just really value him the more you're with him and you see what he does. And talking to the Tulsa staff, they just said, you have an absolute winner come to you. And he played so many different positions for them, which is important because we don't know how it all will come together, but we certainly know we needed more depth in the center midfield. So that's Luke Jeffis. Holden Brown is a name that many of them in Bloomington are going to recognize with the family name. His family, you know, he grew up here in town until middle school and then made his way to Zionsville to finish out high school. His older brother swam here, and Holden was a player that we know very well on a personal level. He and my middle son, Grant, are really close friends. And we actually didn't recruit Holden on the front end because there wasn't the need, and it was really difficult, Glass, because I love the kid, and he was a very talented goalie, but I didn't want him to kind of get squashed into the mix of, like, an opportunity out there. He goes to UVA and wins the starting job after his freshman year. And if it wasn't for his injury early last season, he would have been, you know, basically a three-year starter for them. He has a grad year, meaning a COVID year and a medical. So he's got 2 years. And we felt leaving last year that JT has had two really good seasons. But inevitably, was he pushed as hard as he needed to be? And we didn't feel he was. And we feel Holden's a starting level player that's going to immediately put JT in an extra gear of readiness. And we also feel that if something were to happen, if you know, JT continues to hold on to the spot, that we have a starting level player. And then let's fast forward a year from now. Holden will have a great opportunity. Obviously, JT's last season would be obviously the front runner to be in the starting role in 25. So it's a win-win for both Holden, the program, and a wonderful young man. And I mean, when you get to know Holden, he lights a room up. He has got a really engaging personality. And I also felt that was important in our locker room build, Class. I mean, coaches understand because when they do this all the time, how much time we spend, like, what's the locker room need besides just the positional profile? And I feel we hit home runs with these four guys in all different ways. And I couldn't be more pleased with where this roster build is. I always say we're never done, Glass, but we feel pretty good right now where we're at.
And if something pops up, we just never know. But May 1st, as you mentioned, is getting closer and closer and closer. And Holden Brown is also 6'4", and that gives you another dynamic as well that that we haven't seen here in a few years. And that always can help, and you can never have enough talent. You're right. You push guys in practice. Everybody stays sharper, and he's played in the ACC. We know how much fun that league is, so the intensity is not going to bother him and bother him coming here. What kind of intensity do you hope to have from your team tonight? Home game, IUPUI, 7:30, Jerry Yeagley Field, Bill Armstrong Stadium. And then you'll have one more next week, and that'll be at Grand Park up in Westfield against our old friends from South Bend, a reunion of sorts. You got two games left. What's on the docket for expectations from your squad?
Yeah, well, tonight we'll go a little deeper than even last week, and then we'll keep the bench a little shorter against Notre Dame. And that's the scheduling of this is intentional of the Notre Dame game's a little closer to maybe how we would play a game solely to get a result, but also make a few tweaks. And yet the rest of these games, we're making changes, Glass, regardless of the score. And, of course, we want to win. But the last game is one that we maybe don't – we maybe tactically use on maybe the form of the game or what the game needs. We don't kind of force substitutions in like we do these others. So tonight we'll go – you know, probably minimally, you know, 16, 17 deep again. And then, you know, IUPUI, I don't know. We haven't seen them much. They're much improved. I know they've gone, you know, a little international. Their coach came from Wright State during a nice run. What you always face with this type of opponent, Glass, is there's going to be kids on this team that, you know, wanted to come to IU. And you know we see this with IU basketball as well. You have to be – these guys are wanting to show why'd you pass up on me if, in case that was the case. And, you know, we're the big game, right, I'm sure, on their spring schedule, one of them. Easier to get up for Kentucky after the battles we've had from them. So I think it will be a bit of a test to see how we approach it as a group. I'm excited to see how they do with that. And then ultimately – you know, what style they bring to the game? Will they be a little deeper in their defensive pressure? We've seen pressing teams this spring. We've seen some teams that sit. We've seen a different formation. That's what I'm expecting, is maybe a team that's a little more conservative with energy, and we got to break them down. And, you know, when you're doing that in training and you're artificially creating those moments, obviously your opposition knows what you're trying to do. So I think that will be the takeaway tonight, how we break them down, if and they are in a kind of mid-low block.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer, Hoosiers, IUPUI, 7:30 tonight, Bill Armstrong Stadium, Jerry Yeagley Field, free admission, come one, come all. Hopefully the sunshine pops back out for a little bit there, but thankfully the forecast suggests no rain. That's the good news. We've had enough of that. How about we touch base in a couple weeks after these final two spring games, see where we are heading into summertime, and who knows, maybe we'll even bring in a little MLS chat into the chat.
Love it. Thanks as always, Glass.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate your time as always. Best of luck tonight. We'll talk to you soon. The gaffer, Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer. The Hoosiers, their final home test from the spring season tonight and again next weekend. They will be in Grand Park in Westfield against Notre Dame. For those of you that joined the interview late, Indiana did defeat Kentucky last Saturday, 2-0 in Lexington. And pretty good performance from a spring game. Big compliments from Kentucky's head coach on that one. All right, folks, have a fantastic Friday night. Enjoy the Masters. We got Pacers basketball for you. Pre-game starts at 7. We'll have the Reds on the radio tomorrow afternoon. Pre-game at 1:40 in Chicago against the White Sox. And then game number 82 of the regular season, Atlanta in the Pacers, 12:30 for a 1 o'clock start Sunday. That wraps up the NBA regular season. Remember, if the Pacers win tonight and Philadelphia loses, they clinch a spot. We know if the Pacers win tonight as well, they clinch the 6th spot. Also, big, big game for the blue and the gold. Have a great weekend. The Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour is over.